Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, you're stuck with me. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. Tuesday, hopefully yours is going well in these five-day work weeks. You know, we've got to wait until the end of the month before we can fully capitalize on additional shorter work weeks, which I know will probably send you to the walls be weeping. You know, those short work weeks, I'm sure you feel as though you're gypping your employer and all those things, but try to get over your tears because then we'll be back in the full swing of things after January. Anyway, we have a few things, obviously, to get into today. We are awaiting the situation with the bishop, which I suspect is going to be announced tomorrow. I had thought that because the story was supposed to have been kept very close to the vest, but it leaked out yesterday, that I thought that there was a chance that today an official announcement regarding the lack of Bishop Malone in Buffalo's diocesan future was, in fact, a fact. And you know, you look back on certain events, and the handwriting, you know, whether you love the bishop or whether you think he's the worst bishop who's ever walked the face of the earth, you know, the handwriting was kind of on the wall because of the protesters who showed up en masse, or at least en masse enough to make an impact, pretty much wherever the bishop publicly appeared in the performance of his duties. You might recall the Catholic Charities dinner, and the bishop did not attend that because of the concern about protesters. Another nail in the coffin would be the MRT, the Movement to Restore Trust's withdrawal of support from the bishop. Now, the bishop had some nice things to say about the MRT, the Movement to Restore Trust, on this radio program, but there are those, I'm pretty sure, from some of the some of what I've read, some of what I've heard, that perceive the MRT as not exactly a conservative Catholic organization, but an organization that, how do I say this, wants to make the Roman Catholic Church more progressive in its thinking and less conservative. And Bishop Malone, and I did ask him this question when he was in studio not that long ago. There is, make no mistake, there is a political component. And this is multifactorial. But there is, I think, a political component to the bishop's resignation. And the Movement to Restore Trust, I'm guessing, despite what the bishop may have said, is an organization that wants to make the Roman Catholic Church even more like the Episcopal Church, which didn't work out too well around here for the Episcopal Diocese in Western New York. I would imagine, you know, whenever a radio station changes management or whenever your business that has been bought and sold changes management, or when you've got a new regional vice president who is announced for a company, what's the first thing you worry about in that situation? You worry about your job. So I would imagine that there is a great deal of concern at the Catholic Center amongst people who work there about what their continued prospects for gainful employment in the diocese is going to be. Now, I am hearing that the actual announcement of the bishop's resignation is going to be made tomorrow. The exact time, I do not know. It would not surprise me if it was made tomorrow morning, the official announcement of Bishop Malone's resignation. And some of you might be, and something else too. The bishop was supposed to have confirmed in Clarence, I think it was last weekend, a parish in Clarence, the bishop, Bishop Malone, was supposed to have confirmed people into the faith, but because there was word afoot that protesters might be there to disrupt the occasion, the bishop sent a designee instead of going himself. And let's just say this. If you are a bishop and you are trying to lead a diocese, I would think that it is impossible to lead a diocese if you cannot function as a bishop without protesters being around. Now, one of my questions is, whoever is tapped to be the new bishop of Buffalo, and in the interim, basically they're going to have the regional VP basically act as the apostolic administrator of the Diocese of Buffalo. But I wonder if the next bishop, if he isn't progressive enough for those on the left wing of the Catholic Church, is also going to face the same kind of issues as Bishop Malone faced. If they put in a conservative bishop to replace Bishop Malone, if a conservative bishop is orthodox, if a conservative bishop is traditional, if a conservative bishop espouses many of the same views as Bishop Malone, will the protesters just go away? Or are they going to continue to protest because this is about more than uncovering the truth with respect to pedophilia? This is, in fact, a political movement aimed at making sure the church swings to the left. That is a question to be considered. That is a question to be asked. Is Bishop Malone going to be at any news conference that might happen tomorrow at the Catholic Center? The answer to that is no. The bishop is not in Buffalo. The bishop, at last word, was in Boston. And there's a chance, I would guess, because he's got nothing to do anymore in Buffalo, really, except pack. There's a chance, I'm sure others can do that for him, there's a chance the bishop, now Bishop Malone, may never return to Buffalo, New York. There's a chance that might never happen. The bishop, His Excellency, is no doubt crestfallen with this situation. And I would imagine that when the guy from Brooklyn came here and saw every event the bishop had to cancel because of protests, that it was probably discussed. And I'm doing this from a radio perspective and the perspective of people I know out there in corporate America who've been through all the suit BS and the bean counter BS. My guess would be that the numbers in terms of the revenue taken in by the local church probably way, way down, which is always going to play a factor whether you are in the secular or whether you are in the ecclesiastical world, the spiritual world. Numbers are important. You need revenue. You need to take in money, hopefully at a greater rate than you are expending money. It's just common sense and basic math. My guess would be that the numbers were down so significantly, and the number of events the bishop had to duck away from because of protesters had increased so dramatically, it would not surprise me. And I'm thinking back on the chronology of everything as it happened. It wouldn't surprise me if it would have been suggested by DiMarzio out of Brooklyn. And this is just speculation on my part. We'll put the big speculation graphic under these words on the radio. That DiMarzio probably said something to the effect of, hey, bro, you guys are bleeding financially. You guys are just getting killed with respect to the money that is coming in versus the money that is going out. And, bro, you can't even go and do a confirmation. You can't even go to thank people who donate to Catholic Charities big time. You have to send a video or you have to send a designee to go in your stead. How is it possible? This is my imagined conversation. I'm doing an Adam Schiff, I have to tell you. So, like I said, put the speculation Chiron graphic underneath these words. My guess is that DiMarzio probably strongly suggested to Bishop Malone that in light of what I'm sure are significantly diminished numbers and the inability of the bishop to adequately do the duties a bishop is expected to perform, that I'm guessing that it was probably strongly suggested to Bishop Malone that a resignation might be in his best interests and might be in the best interests of the Diocese of Buffalo, which still, of course, has bills to pay. And I'm going to go one step further, talking about the numbers. And I'm certainly not the first to say this, but I think that bankruptcy of the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo, I don't think it's a question of if the diocese is going to declare bankruptcy. I think it is a question of when the diocese is going to declare bankruptcy. It just makes sense. I mean, these things will probably, you know, we'll probably find out whether I'm onto something or not onto something in the months ahead. But after Malone resigns, which is going to happen tomorrow, and as I said, the bishop is in Buffalo. He is in Boston. He is not in Buffalo. May never come back. May never return to Buffalo. That the logical next step in that the diocese is losing money left, right, and center, that bankruptcy is probably going to be the next breaking story out of the Diocese of Buffalo. That would be my guess. It wouldn't surprise me if the first thing the apostolic administrator, who is going to be at least partially a bean counter, the first thing he's going to do, he's going to figure out what are the assets, what are the liabilities, what are the monthly expenditures, what is costing us money, what is draining us dry, what is bleeding us dry. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if some of the institutions the church runs go out of business concomitant with a bankruptcy filing in the future. For example, Christ the King Seminary. How much money is it taking in? How much money is going out? Is it an asset? Is it a liability? Does it make money? Does it lose money? But my guess is it probably loses money, and it probably would be on the chopping block. I'm not Catholic. I have a great respect for the Catholic Church, and truth be told, I'm rather fond of Bishop Malone. I've met the man several occasions. He's been in this room with me on several occasions. I've had many fine talks with Bishop Malone, and truth be told, I am quite fond of him. And the fact of the matter is, I don't like to see anybody pushed out of a job. I don't like to see anybody forced to resign, as I suspect the bishop was basically given the option of resigning, thus proving, by the way, Christopher Lamb's report of several weeks ago to be correct. But, you know, personally, I mean, maybe I'm the only one in Western New York who feels this way, but I'm going to miss the bishop. I'm going to miss his accessibility. I am going to miss speaking with him. He really is a very, very likable guy. He was never haughty. And I'm just talking about our interpersonal communication and our interpersonal relationship. He was never haughty. He was always polite. He always struck me as being sincere. Some of you obviously disagree with what I'm saying, and I certainly respect that. I can only speak to the relationship that I had with the bishop. And I, and maybe I'm the only one, I'm going to have very fond memories of Bishop Richard Malone, despite the quagmire, giggity, in which he finds himself right now. I think that in many ways, Bishop Malone is a victim of circumstance. I think that he also, well, let's put it this way. Something else on my list of bishop points was when Father Richard left the side of the bishop, because every time the bishop would come in studio, Father Richard would be right there. And, you know, there was an air, and look, I know everybody loves Father Richard, and I have nothing bad to say about the man, but there was something about that relationship as I watched Father Richard watching Bishop Malone doing the various programs we did with the bishop that made me question. I don't know that I questioned loyalty, but I questioned the relationship between the two men. And I'm not insinuating anything like what you might think. My mind was more like, how on board with the bishop is Father Richard really? Because he always seemed, you know, somewhat reserved, if you will. You know how when two people really like each other and really respect each other, when one is talking, the other will often smile and nod his head and basically, attaboy, attaboy. I didn't get that sense at all from Father Richard. And of course, when Father Richard resigned his position, that was a big blow for the Bishop of Buffalo. That was, you know, if you have ever been stabbed in the back by your best friend or somebody you thought was loyal to you, but turned out they really weren't loyal to you, they were scheming behind your back, that's probably the feeling Bishop Malone had, and I'm just using supposition here, probably the feeling Bishop Malone had when Father Richard left the diocese. And again, if I say anything that is inaccurate, I hope you will accept my apologies. I am not a Catholic. Many of my friends are Roman Catholics. I am not personally a Catholic, yet I did feel a very strong affinity for Bishop Malone. And the guy is probably heartbroken for many, many reasons. He may have a sense of betrayal. He may feel betrayed. He may feel as though his entire career all went for naught. He may be a guy who is in some degree of crisis and relying heavily on his faith to pull him through what must be a very difficult situation. Now, I'm going to get into other things today, okay? But if you have some thoughts on anything I've said, knock yourself out. We certainly have talked about this a lot, but I don't have the final word. Just some thoughts that I sketched out at home before I came in today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It is 3:37 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly with you on a Tuesday. And, you know, we have talked about this subject quite a bit. If I had one overarching question, I want to get into the Poland cars refugee thing, too. So don't worry if you tuned in expecting to hear that. But I had some thoughts on this whole situation happening with the diocese. And I would ask you, what is going to be next for the diocese? And I will say that if they don't appoint a bishop who is hospitable to the social justice wing of the Roman Catholic Church, as opposed to the more conservative wing of the Roman Catholic Church, that whoever comes in next may very well meet a fate similar to Bishop Malone. I do believe, and I have long believed, that there is an element of politics in this entire situation, as there is now in every aspect of American life, public and private. Our government agencies are divided. Our secular organizations are divided. So as far as the religious organizations, what, do you think that politics stops at the front door of a diocese or a church? I do not. And I do believe that some of this is a political agenda. And Bishop Malone was too conservative for a lot of very influential people within the local church. And I will tell you that using private sector stuff as my baseline, that I strongly believe that the next step for the Buffalo Diocese will be bankruptcy. I think you're going to see some places shut down. And I think you will see continued protests if the new bishop is not in line with the social justice branch of the Roman Catholic Church. I suspect that Bill in Eden might be calling in on this topic. We affectionately call Bill in Eden Mr. Catholic. Anything I said that was ignorant, stupid, uninformed, malignant, or otherwise troublesome?
No, not at all, Tom. And even though I have satellite radio, I really so much appreciate your analysis and your interview style that I prefer to tune into good old AM radio to listen to you. And I know the significance of this particular date on the calendar, so I want you to know, too, that I'm not just a caller, but I hope you can think of me also as a friend and a brother. But what I was calling about was I jotted down some thoughts I had, basically, why I thought this might be coming, where the bishop went wrong, and why this doesn't sit well with me. So, on November 19th, I texted David Bellavia, your co-host, that was 2 weeks ago today, that I thought this was coming. I said, I saw Bishop Malone in person today. He looked dejected. I wouldn't be surprised if he later says he'll leave. I have no inside information, and I hope that he can stay until his 75th birthday at least, but my sense of people tells me there may be a different outcome. He was like looking out a window and those protesters were outside. There were just a few of them, probably about 7 or 8. And later on, he kind of walked to the elevator and I said, you know, Bishop Tom just said on the radio yesterday that, you know, if you'd like, you know, you can call in and he'll talk to you. But he didn't even really respond. He was just kind of waiting for that door to open. And the video message that he gave in the Western New York Catholic paper for December, his message in there was a little bit ambiguous and noncommittal. He said, basically there, you might have heard him, where he said, I had a brief discussion with Cardinal Mark Willet, Prefect of the Congregation for Bishops. More on that to come. And that just seemed it really wasn't that committal or informative to me. And mm-hmm. If you look on page 3 in the Western New York Catholic for December, it shows the bishop and pictured with a bunch of other ebullient buffalo pilgrims in Rome, you know, during his ad limina visit, which happens to mean the Latin words for to the threshold.
Right.
But everybody is smiling in that picture except one person, and unfortunately that's Bishop Malone. Now my second point is where I thought the bishop went wrong. And Tom, I have to say you're spot on here. I marked down that, as you said, he needed to communicate more and more frequently. And the fact that he would not go to those things like the seminary for the dinner and kind of went the backdoor way at the airport, that didn't really strike me as something that someone should be doing like that. I didn't like the fact that he shut down Daybreak Communications. It was an awesome audiovisual. And the voice of the diocese, why would you shut down your own voice? You let yourself get redefined by those who don't like you. I know for financial reasons he probably felt he had to. But, and the other thing, unlike President Trump, the bishop publicly revealed his vulnerabilities. Because he said, they would say, when would you possibly leave, Bishop? Because he would always say that he wanted to stay there. And he said, if my priest rejected me, I'd consider that. And then right after that, you saw that petition that started circulating with some priests signing it.
But you know what struck me about that petition is only a handful of priests signed it.
Yeah, and there's only a handful of people that are protesting him, too. But there wasn't even most of it. And then he said that if there was an investigation, which he welcomed, led to the Pope telling him to go, then that might be another reason that he would, out of obedience, have to leave. And then what do we see? We see the investigation coming. We see the papal nuncio or whoever else appointing Bishop DiMarzio and that whole investigation, and that is kind of what eventually led to the downfall there. What else was I saying here? He was following the letter of the law and tried to give marginal priests a second chance, I thought. And these weren't involving anything with children, but that was before we had the policy for adults. And some of those that were acting improperly with adults, maybe he was trying to give them a second chance. You'll hear on the radio sometimes people will say, he was moving priests around or he was covering it up. But I thought it was to my sense that he probably wanted to give them, a second chance, that they hadn't done anything specifically with children, anyone under 18. The other thing was I thought, his public face, the way that he would say things, maybe it's just the way that a public official does that. It kind of reminds me of Ted Baxter from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. You have your own voice for something when you would say, the Congregation for Bishops has received the report, which is held in strict confidentiality. That kind of comes off, maybe, if you don't know the man, is plastic or not genuine.
Right.
But he is genuine. I thank you, Tom, because you're always genuine with us, and I appreciate that. And then the last part of this is why this whole thing does not sit well with me. Well, where have we heard before? The bishop's downfall was we had a whistleblower, we had leaks, and we had constant protests. It's like, where else have you heard that before? If you go to Google, I don't know, you could try this on your own. If you go to Google and you search Bishop Richard Malone, the first thing that comes up is an ad for Stephen Boyd, attorney. And then the bishop is probably acting, or they see him as a scapegoat, where he is, on the other hand, though, very faithful. And even the initial whistleblower noted his Sheen-like eloquence, like Bishop Sheen. So, and I don't know, like you said, Tom, I don't know if the next bishop that we're going to have is going to be as true to the faith as Bishop Malone is. The joke is, you know, we always say, is the Pope Catholic? But now, in this particular Pope, kind of sometimes we wonder what the answer to that question is.
Well, Bill, as the guy we affectionately call Mr. Catholic, am I correct in your opinion in saying that there is a political constituent to this, that the MRT is the social justice wing of the church. Malone was more conservative. So if the Vatican appoints another conservative bishop to shepherd the flock in Buffalo, that whomever that person is going to be, he could be Jesus Christ himself, and he is going to be protested by a certain wing of the church.
I think you're spot on. You're absolutely right there. And it's been that way. You know, there have been politics in the diocese for years. Absolutely right there. And the final things that I thought of here were, if we're, like you said, bankruptcy is probably, it's a matter of when as opposed to if. I thought it would have been better if it could have been announced by this bishop, since a lot of these other people don't like him anyway. Someone else is going to have to do that now. I thought maybe he could have remained as something like a bishop emeritus and helped with the transition, just not handling anything that dealt with sex abuse cases. And like, what was I going to say? The people that don't really know the situation might equate bad men as being the Catholic Church, which isn't really the case at all. This is, and the people that have left the church over something like this, to me, that seems like someone who's leaving Peter because of something that Judas did. And my thought was always punish the perpetrators and not the diocese. And then the last thing I was thinking was, I hope that, you know, our bishop doesn't unfortunately get sick or die or anything prematurely because of all this.
Well, he is, I will say no doubt the man is crestfallen and probably despondent as he sits in Boston. I know he's got a lot of friends in Boston, not sure the level of support system the man has. But the protesters got what they wanted. Now, what the result of the protest is going to be in terms of the next bishop appointed for Buffalo, we will have to wait and see. Of course, your pope is Pope Francis.
Yeah, I'm just afraid that this will embolden, actually, the protesters. It's like, oh, we got that guy. If someone else comes along and he does what we don't like, we'll get him too.
Well, yeah, and I think there are certainly parallels you can draw. Bill, thanks very much for the call. I appreciate it. I know that your church is a very important part of your life. Coming up on the show, let's see, we've got Father Mike calling in from Warsaw. I need Father Mike. I've got to take care of some business here on WBEN, and then we will get to you. And as you listen to this show, if you have thoughts on the resignation, which will be announced tomorrow, whether you want to call it a resignation or early retirement, it's just a matter of semantics. And I do believe the next step for the diocese is going to be bankruptcy. Would not surprise me to see the seminary shut down. Would not surprise me to see other institutions shut down, and you can bet that the bean counters are going to do a line-by-line analysis of what is making money and what is losing money. And those institutions or places that are losing money big time, obviously their heads are going to be on the chopping block. It's like that way in the private sector, and it will be that way in the church sector as well. Let's go to Father Mike in Warsaw. Father Mike, you are on WBEN. May we assume or presume that you are a Catholic priest serving within the diocese?
I am. I'm the pastor at St. Michael's in Warsaw. And I just want to, before I go any further, my grandmother used to listen to you all the time when I was growing up, and she used to, we just lost her a couple of months ago, and listening to you in the afternoon sometimes brings back memories of her listening to you cooking dinner. So,
well, I'm very touched by that. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sure she was a wonderful lady.
Thank you. She called you one time when you did a special on what age you let your kids stay home alone. And my grandmother said that if she left me and my siblings alone, we'd kill each other.
Now I know she was a great lady.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very sorry, obviously, to hear that you lost somebody so near and close to you. It's always always a struggle.
Thanks.
Well, what's on your mind vis-a-vis the Bishop Malone situation, Father?
You know, it's certainly a challenging time in our diocese, and it's a time for us, like you said, there's division. Politics is not immune to the church, and I think it's unfortunate that in facets of life we let politics and different convictions and beliefs divide us instead of working together and strengthening what the possibilities can be. It's unfortunate that the church can be divided. It's unfortunate that our country can be divided. And hopefully, whatever happens in these coming months are steps forward, and healing can take place not only for victims, but for the church as well. Because Bishop Malone's resignation, if that is indeed what happens tomorrow, it doesn't make up for the sins of the church from 20, 40 years ago. It doesn't make up for the fact that some things have been mishandled. We can't keep talking about what didn't get done, and we have to talk about what we need to do.
As you assess the situation, would the Buffalo Diocese, would most of the people in the Buffalo Diocese prefer a bishop who leans toward the left social justice wing of the church or the more conservative kind of bishop, as was Bishop Malone?
I think when it comes to what people look for in a bishop, and maybe this is my own personal bias, they want a pastor. They need a pastor. We need a pastor who doesn't necessarily define themselves as someone on the left or on the right, but someone who's going to be balanced, who's going to be able to work with people of all sorts of beliefs and convictions, and be able to approach different and challenging topics pastorally.
Father Mike, I'd like to talk to you more after the news. Do you want John to take your number off the air and we'll call you back after the news so you don't have to have the phone up to your ear?
I'm driving, so I'm okay to wait.
Okay, it's going to be, we've got some commercials, then we've got the news, and then it's going to be about a little over 10 minutes, okay, just to give you a heads up.
No problem. I'm driving in God's country, so no.
All right, thank you, Father Mike. It is 3:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We're going to be getting into the Poland Cars refugees thing as well, but obviously this Bishop Malone story is something that we've covered. I think we've had more interviews with Bishop Malone on this show than any other media outlet has had. And frankly, I had developed a really good rapport with the Bishop of Buffalo, and I have a great deal of fondness and affection for the man, truth be told.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.